Oh, Chuck, you have the look on your face like you have a question.
He
No,
forgot to record.
I just hit the record button.
Oh, all right. Well, then there you go. That's a little bit extra sausage for everyone. Right before I say, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and I'm really happy to be here. I get to hang out with wonderful people. What more could I ask?
And Jeff, you know I'm going to cut that out, and we're going to start with this is a little bit extra sausage, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I guess now we have a show title, Jeff's Extra Sausage.
Oh
That's just wrong.
my God. Oh
Well, speaking of delicious breakfast, Dave, how are you?
I am doing well, having fun at work today with some crazy things we talked about pre-show. But beyond that, it's been crazy busy this week, but glad to be here.
Awesome. Glad you're here. And our second breakfast, because we're just like little hobbitses. Chuck, how are you?
Little hobbitses?
Have you never read The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, but
Yeah, then you should
I'm trying to
get
associate that with breakfast.
Well.
First breakfast, second breakfast, third breakfast, lunches.
Okay. Oh, I forgot about that. Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I'm fine. I just wanted to be sure that I hadn't missed some kind of reference, which I did. So then that's the second thing I've learned today for this show. So I'm doing good.
After
You know,
Jeff's sausage?
no.
Don't know. It's better not.
Chuck, any day that you learn something is a good day.
True.
And you've learned two
Absolutely.
things today, which means that you were winning. And Kelly Goumont, she has her thing. She likes to talk about you're one of the 10,000, because everyone learns one new thing, the same new thing. Like 10,000 people learn the same new thing every day. So you're one of the 10,000.
But you're also part of a very lucky group because there's probably tons of people who learn absolutely nothing every day. So
Which is really sad.
it's just
Yeah,
really sad.
I can probably attest to that. Yeah,
Yeah.
I've run into them frequently.
In your line of work,
I'm
yeah,
not
you do.
surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from breakfast to dessert. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a bit of a random week, and yesterday I was like, oh wow, it's Friday already, or it was Thursday yesterday. I was like, where did the week go? So much happened and so many things going on, and like I got some deliveries of stuff, and yeah, it's just I don't know, random week, but a good week, and I'm hoping that I can go fly after 4 weeks on Sunday. The weather is, it's looking okay so far. Like no fog, which is the more thing. Like if it rains a little bit, we can deal with that. The clouds are high up, like that's fine, but no fog. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Well, fingers crossed. Cool. All right. Well, I suppose we should do some stories, some news. And as always, we are borrowing from Dave Ginsburg's show notes from In Touch with iOS. Dave, thank you for sharing with us. You rock. And I thought what we could start with today is the story that actually, let me look at the calendar. Could we have, well, hold on. I can't find the right month. January, there we go.
We're
No, it's February.
it's
It's
February
February.
already, I
But
guess.
I had to find January to look at the date, because it turns out we missed the 16th anniversary of the iPad last week.
Oh, it's true. It's been
So I thought,
16 years and still gone nowhere? Funny.
yeah,
you
I
know,
mean,
it's You know, it's funny you say that, because when the iPad was first released, and I did get the OG iPad, mm-hmm. and absolutely loved it, I looked at, you know, I was using it, and I'm thinking, you know, there's just a handful of things they could do with this, and then this could be my mobile computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting for those things to happen. I mean, the iPad is so much more capable than it was 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I still can't use it as a replacement for my MacBook Pro on the go.
It's true.
Jeff.
Yeah.
So a couple things. First of all, I distinctly remember having discussions as the iPad was coming out about what if this is just a big iPhone? Is that enough? My answer was yes, because, you know, it's, you got a bigger screen, you got more battery life. So anything on top of that is going to be a bonus. But I hear a lot of people just like you that are trying to replace a laptop with it. And I think we may, this is a conclusion I recently came to. I think we're missing the point. I don't think that this is supposed to be a portable computer for us. I think it can be a portable computer for probably 80 to 85% of the people that buy an iPad, because they are doing only a certain subset of things that any of us do. And I'm not trying to elevate us or put us on a pedestal. We just, you know, we do video production. We do audio production. We do web publishing and web work, the behind the scenes kind of web work, not just surfing. And so when I look at our friends, in fact, I just had someone that contacted me and said that her husband wanted to have a keyboard with his iPad because he's thinking of replacing his laptop. And so we danced around that a little bit. But bottom line, he did it, and that's it. And looking at his use case and the kind of user he is, it makes 100% sense. But I just don't think it's for us.
Well, I'm with you. It could be for me. It's just there's still a small handful of things that I need it to do that, well, I can make those happen on an iPad. Excuse me. It's much more efficient to do it on my Mac. My goal was when I finally got it all to gel together was iPad on the go, Mac Mini on the desk. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm doing my regular stuff, it's on a Mac. When I'm out and about, I probably, or so I thought, need a subset of my tools. Therefore, I could do everything that I need on an iPad. And it turns out the answer is no, but a big part of that is the audio side of things. But there's a lot that I do on my iPad. Like, it turns out my iPad became my platform of choice for video editing. And that is not something I would have expected. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine with my workflow being as productive with video editing on my Mac as I am on my iPad.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the key point. I mean, we've probably talked about it last couple of years. Whenever there were rumors, oh, the iPad is a failure, blah blah blah, software, all of that. I don't see. I mean, you can argue like if you have to choose a device because like you don't want to spend the money for both, pick one, okay? Then pick the one that works for you. But I mean, for us at least, I think a lot of us have both. Right. And so what's the problem? Like you buy the Mac that you need for the Mac things that you want to do, and you buy the iPad that you need for the iPad things you want to do, and those don't have to overlap at all. I mean, you don't expect the iPhone to do the things your Mac does, right?
True.
So why does the iPad have to? Like, I know Apple pitched it at some point that way and said, oh, this is the next computer and whatever. And yeah, for some people it might be, but why? The Mac is there, the Mac is fine, and as long as it gets the job done, and the iPad and does gets the job done it needs to do, like, where's the problem?
And that's fair. Yeah, another place I use my iPad instead of my Mac, even when I'm sitting in front of my Mac, when I need to SSH into my headless Raspberry Pis, I grab my iPad and use Prompt. Even though I can just launch Terminal on the Mac that I'm sitting in front of. I reach over, grab my iPad, set it on my desk, open Prompt, and log into my iPads, or excuse me, into my Raspberry Pis, and do all my Terminal stuff that way. And it's, for me, it's a much better experience than using Terminal on my Mac.
Yeah, for you it is, and for me it's not. And that's totally fine. And Jeff is on, Chuck is on mute, by the way.
Trying not to cough at you. I think in some ways you just made my point, though, you know, that it depends on how you work and what you're doing. Because how many people are running an armada of headless Raspberry Pis?
Or headless Macs or headless whatever, or remote whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, you know, and look, pick the, there's one other dirty little secret here, too, and that's the software. And I'm not talking about the operating system, but I'm talking about the software that's available for the task or tasks that you're engaged in. And so some things I absolutely prefer the software that I can get on the iPad. Other places, there's no question the Mac is far and away better. And Jeff, you said it. Can I do things? Yeah, I can make them happen on an iPad. But I can make them happen a lot faster and a lot easier on the Mac. So choose wisely or choose both.
I think it's just the application of how an iPad it can be used. You know, my experience at work with it being kind of a front end device to be able to travel with, so they can you can do reports, you can go to the internet, you can check your email, you work on all the Microsoft products in the corporate world. Those applications tend to be good. Some people like in design, you know, Jeff, you love to, when you're sketching and stuff, does the iPad is perfect for what you want to do with it. It's a perfect thing to the perfect device to do that with. It's the same thing in the corporate world with the pencil when you're using something like OneNote. You know, again, I'm talking corporate here. And I know that's not the Apple stuff that's on that side, but it's getting there. You know, they can mark up sketches, you know, when they're looking at floor plans and all that kind of stuff. And that's where I think the big application is. I think iPad OS has to get a little more mature. I agree. Mac OS is a little bit more robust when it comes to working in an environment just like if you're working on the Windows side of things. And we've had this debate. Well, we should be able to run Mac OS on an iPad. What's the point? I mean, it has to be distinguished as a separate product. We've had many debates with friends on this, and I think it's an irrelevant thing. But the fact of the matter is, the iPad is a great device when it comes to those things I just described. Yeah. People are loving it. I mean, people travel with them all the time. You want to be able to watch movies. And, I mean, yeah, the airlines are having more and more entertainment. Well, you still need a device to get to it now. I mean, it's not that great. You'd rather have your own entertainment.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, and there's tons of things that the iPad enabled us to do that we couldn't do before, right? I'm just thinking, because it's one of the things I'm looking at right now, is the electronic flight back on like planes and airlines and whatever. Like they used to, I know from people who have worked in the industry for a long time, they used to carry like massive like trolleys full of like manuals and whatever with them. And nowadays they have an iPad. The iPad usually has cell connectivity or whatever, sometime, or at least depends on where you're working. And they can not only access all the checklists and manuals and whatever they want, they can do like planning, they can look at live traffic, they can do a lot of things with that iPad. And like that would be pretty difficult. It's not impossible, but pretty difficult with a laptop, because it's just like the form factor doesn't work so well, right? So the touch screen and the single, like it's kind of a thicker sheet of paper, just have my iPad here, is just perfect for that. You can mount it somewhere in your cockpit and work with that. And there's so many other places where that exact same thing has happened over the last 16 years.
It's a cool device, and excuse me, I'm gonna keep buying them.
Yeah, I stopped buying them for a little while, and now I'm actually looking into, like, the next time a Mini comes out, buying it again for flying, because there is use cases for it. I ran out of them for a little while because my Vision Pro took over most of what I was using the iPad for, but now I have new ones, so where's the problem? Mm-hmm. I'll just buy another one.
Chuck, and then Dave.
Just real quick, Dave, there's one thing I kind of disagree with you. I don't think that this discussion is irrelevant because of the effects that it has on people and on Apple, that people, you know, declare the iPad inadequate because, well, I can't replace my Mac with it. And so, you know, that kind of slams the iPad. And, you know, or, you know, the reverse that, well, you know, I can do everything on my iPad. So, you know, and you should be able to as well. So you don't need to buy a Mac.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's a disservice to, you know, to friends, other buyers, and even to Apple itself. You know, let Apple produce the device and then you figure out whether it works for you. But this obsession with trying to replace one thing with another is, I just don't think, good for much of anybody.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Did you have something else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Then in that case, happy birthday, iPad.
Yay.
And yes.
Let's hope we get a new one soon, because I think they're due for an upgrade.
I think so too. Yeah.
At least the Mini and the
non-Pro, the I think. iPad. Yeah, the non-Pros.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. So, okay, next story that I wanted to take a look at, and this one actually came out this morning, and I know that's the only reason it wasn't on Dave's show notes, because turns out Dave is not capable of nonlinear time travel. And so this is news that came out of an internal company-wide Apple meeting from yesterday as we record. So that would be February 5th. And the question came up about whether or not Tim is planning on retiring and when that might be. And so Tim's response was, and I will read the quote. So this comes from Bloomberg, but since Bloomberg is paywalled, we have the Mac Rumors coverage of the paywalled Bloomberg article. So what Tim said, according to the article, was, quote, "I spend a lot of time thinking about who's in the room 5 years from now, 10 years from now," in response to the question about, hey, are you retiring soon? And then he followed up with, "I'm obsessed with this. Who's in the room 15 years from now?"
That's not an answer, but okay.
That's not an answer, but it does let people speculate that Tim is not, in fact, planning on retiring from Apple in 2026.
How?
Or at least from the CEO role.
How? Because I mean, it's a non-answer. He can be obsessed with who's here 10 years, 15 years from now. That doesn't mean that includes him. It could be like, who's gonna be the new CEO in 10, 15 years or 5 years. Like, that's, like, as I said, this is a non, which I expect, and it's totally fine. Like, it's not a complaint. This is a non-answer that, of course, he's gonna give to the wide audience in an internal town hall, because he knows, like, he knows that people will talk and this information will go out. Like, if you send something to the entire company, you might as well make it public. Like, of course you don't, but you might as well. Like, if anything that is not officially announced, and, you know, they're a publicly traded company, so they would have to officially announce that. Like, it would need to be published if the CEO was planning to step down officially. So, like, he will not say anything. So, as I said, it's a non-answer, which is fine.
That's fair. Chuck, you've got the look on your face.
You've got the look.
You know, I recognize the business side of it. I recognize the requirements and the idea that Wall Street is constantly pressuring for this kind of information, let alone the Apple community. But this kind of thing is kind of Tim's business when he wants to retire.
Yes.
Outside of the fiduciary responsibility he has to the company to keep the board of directors and the investors informed adequately. Now, we've all seen people that had to, you know, cut out very quickly because of a health issue or a family issue or something. But, you know, this just obsession with Tim and when he steps down and who's going to be next. I mean, I think it's a very fair question, but it is turning into an obsession. And that's the part that it's like, this is, you know, this is a distraction. It's a distraction for him because, and for really for all the senior management, because they have to be constantly answering these questions and
everybody.
Answering the speculations and answering the rumors. And it's like, just let the man decide when he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to go at 75, let him go at 75. If he wants to go in 2 weeks, as long as that's adequate notice for the regulators, then let him go in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's like, I mean, it is his responsibility in two ways, right? It is his responsibility on personal level. Like he's the person who ultimately probably should make that decision, but it's also his responsibility as the current CEO of Apple. Right. He is responsible that the company is healthy and stays healthy even after he's around, right? So for now, it's his job. But you're right. It's a massive distraction.
Having an obsession about who's running the company in 5, 10, 15 years.
Yes.
Because you need to make sure everything you've done sets up the next person to continue successfully.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, Dave, when do they make the announcement that you're the new CEO?
No, thanks.
I don't.
Not that headache.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anybody here really wants to deal with all the political crap that comes with it these days.
Here's my strategy for when they call me and say, Jeff, we've run out of people, so can you be your CEO? And I say, yes, of course. So my strategy is make sure that I have an ironclad contract with an amazing golden parachute, and I ride the company for 3 months, and then I have to leave to spend more time with my family, and I've got my golden parachute. I did my 3 months in the barrel, and I'm out with a big wad of cash. That's okay, right? That's totally fine.
I mean, a lot of people do that, so I guess it's okay.
I mean, that's standard business practice. There we go.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually also you get hired for a job that you're completely unqualified for. No, I don't know.
Also, Patrice, thank you for realizing that I grabbed only part of the URL for the article of putting the whole URL in.
You're welcome. I was like, what article are we talking about?
Yeah. You know, I'd say at least I'm getting by in life on my looks, but...
Yeah, you are. You definitely are.
I'm kind of screwed then. all right. So next story I stumbled across this right before the show. And Dave, I wish that this had come out yesterday so that we could have just like really gone at it on In Touch with iOS. But the good news is Chuck is here, so we can still probably find a way to trigger him.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm just going to read you the headline for this, and this is from 95 Mac. Zuckerberg on why Meta should do less safety research. Apple doesn't study any of this. So
right.
Yeah, so in a uh, in So this came out in emails that were unsealed from wherever, and The Verge had gone through the emails and started seeing patterns about weird things, weird ideas Zuckerberg has about running his companies, and so he so his thing was that they, meaning Meta, doesn't need to do a lot of security, safety research. I mean, look, Apple doesn't do it, and so examples that he right. So one of his examples was that Apple doesn't seem to be doing any content review or moderation, or
in iMessage.
Have a way to report yeah. content in iMessage. Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
So because Apple isn't monitoring all of your iMessage communications, therefore Meta shouldn't have to do anything with content moderation on Facebook.
Do we even need to dignify this with a conversation?
Well,
I kind of don't want to, but
yeah. Well, this is just the most. I mean, there's no other word for it. This is stupid. Yes. And if you have half a brain cell to rub together, this is stupid. Because, and so somebody out there has half a brain cell. Yeah. So let's just do it. Messages is between me and you. No. Facebook is me to everyone.
So,
and that's all that needs to be said. Of course, you need to moderate.
But I mean, ask yourself the question. Like, I mean, I'm assuming Mark Zuckerberg is not a complete idiot. Like, as far as I know, he's still a reasonably smart person.
It's a big assumption to portray.
Yeah, let's just assume that. Okay. Ask yourself, who is he talking to, and why is he saying that? Right. Like, who is that argument? It's not about Apple. This is literally not about Apple. It's just like, it's just him arguing for something because he wants to get out of it, right? From a business perspective, he's trying his best to not spend money on something he doesn't want to spend money on, which in this case is like safety and whatever. He also doesn't want any regulation because it's like, yeah, why should we? Like, this is not our responsibility, so there shouldn't be no regulation about this. So that's his whole shtick. And if you mm-hmm. like look at it this way, I mean, this totally makes sense that he would say that. I mean, you can think about his argument whatever you want, but from a very twisted sense of, well, I'm the CEO of one of the biggest companies in the world, and our business is to run a social network that collects basically all data and sells it. This totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And for context, this comes out of a conversation, email conversation, that Zuckerberg was having with Sheryl Sandberg and Nick Clegg. So mm-hmm. at the time, that's when Sheryl was the COO and Nick Clegg was head of global affairs. Mm-hmm. So that absolutely fits with what you just said.
Yeah.
This, I think, also says a lot about Zuckerberg's character. And fits very well with exactly how he's been Facebook rose in popularity.
He's nothing but consistent. Like, back, if you go all the way back probably to his college days, he's been nothing but consistent. Yeah, I mean, that the problem is more, it's a very, very twisted worldview, because nobody else is doing it, so why should we approach is not how we as a society should do things, right? Should be like, and Apple does that sometimes, and then there's also cases where they don't. I think some people, at least in Apple, try to do that, where they say, even if nobody else is doing it, what is the right thing to do? Let's do that, right? Doesn't mean mm-hmm. Apple is perfect. Apple does stupid shit all the time and doesn't do things it should be doing, whatever. But that's the approach to say, okay, yes, nobody else is doing it, but it is the right thing to do, so let's do it. Right? And maybe that's why the why Meta is even still around, because otherwise they might have just shut down the company.
The only thing, I can't excuse this because, okay, so it's internal communications. That's fine. You know, probably a lot of people say a lot of things that would not look really good if they were splashed in the middle of the Wall Street Journal in their emails. That said, though, if you're trying to convince even your COO, if you're trying to convince your COO that you shouldn't do this, when the comparison is just, it's nonsensical. It makes no sense. It literally is like it's literally like comparing apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there is no comparison. There's no connection here. You know, that yes, they don't do this, but so we shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in a completely different business.
Yeah. All right. I mean, Apple has, to be fair, ventured, but it's not iMessage. Apple has ventured into this space, right? Remember Ping?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they've not, I think they backed out because they were unsuccessful. So if Ping had become a raging success, then Zuckerberg's comments, at least assuming that they had become a raging success and they were not doing any research, would be valid.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he wanted to compare himself to Twitter, maybe, or excuse me, X, sorry, or any of the other, you know, one to many social networks, that's fine. But to compare it to the private messages between people, no.
Well, Chuck, this also underscores an important rule or guideline, at least, for communication. Never say anything in a private corporate email that you wouldn't be comfortable having printed in the Wall Street Journal.
That is also true, yeah. I mean, especially these days.
Absolutely.
It happened too many times where, like, internal, very embarrassing emails got released because of some court case or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then on a fun note, so now we're back to Dave's articles. Apple did a media event where they announced a bunch of mm-hmm. content coming to Apple TV.
Yes.
And so this was, what, yesterday, day before? It's
day before.
Okay. So that would have been on Wednesday. And so they previewed 12 new I guess it's TV shows and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there's more interesting stuff coming, which fits with Apple's pattern of they're going for quality over quantity with but they have a lot of stuff on Apple mm-hmm. TV. So we are getting quantity, but still they're going for quality. So they're Of the list, there's a few things that stood out to me that looked like they'd be really interesting. So Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed, that's Tatiana
Maslany.
Maslany.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a, they're billing it as a dark comedy thriller. And Tatiana plays a newly divorced mom and dealing with all the stuff that... Did I screw up the article again? Oh, no, you found a better story.
No, I just had the one that from 9to5 was actually a little bit better because it also includes all the things that is just getting updated. So.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for having my back, Patrice. There's the Keanu Reeves film mm-hmm. Outcome. And the premise of that is Keanu Reeves is playing an actor who's being blackmailed, but he doesn't know by who or whom. Mm-hmm. So he gets some friends together, and he goes on a quest to find everyone that he has wronged in some way and fix it because I guess the idea is, if I fix it, then it negates the need for the blackmail. Mm-hmm. But since he doesn't know who's doing the blackmail, he just has to go and find everyone that he thinks that he's hurt in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's outcome. So, really interesting. Comedy. I mean, Keanu Reeves anyway, and like looks really interesting.
Yeah. And Mayday, Ryan Reynolds and Kenneth Branagh starring mm-hmm. together in a movie. Mm-hmm. I stopped looking at what it was at that point, because that's where you had me. Ryan Reynolds and Kenneth Branagh feels like you've gone so completely polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what it is. I want to see that movie.
Yeah. It is actually a Cold War kind of a spy story almost.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds really interesting.
Cool. Well, I mean, I'm still interested. So anything from the list standing up for any of you?
So much. It's like, I think Margot's Got Money Troubles was interesting. Definitely Imperfect Women is definitely one with, it's based on a really cool novel. Kind of a psychological thriller kind of type thing. Mm-hmm. But it has like Kerry Washington, Kate Mara, which I really like. So
cool.
And I'm horribly neglectful when it comes to articles like this particular one, because if they're making me click away to see something else without mm-hmm. giving me a summary, I just say, you know what, when they come out, I'll hear about them. I'll get more details.
Yeah, but they have a summary. Under each trailer, there's a summary if you want to read it.
Well, yeah, but you got to click to get there.
No.
No, it has a paragraph scroll down. Each one.
Just scroll down.
I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling.
Literally under each trailer, there is one.
Why am I not seeing it then?
Oh, are you in the 9-to-5 one? So that one is...
Yeah.
Look at the Mac Rumors.
The Mac Rumors one has that okay. more content. It depends what you need.
Yeah.
There's also
Yeah. Bottom line is, you know, I look at it and think, okay, I need more information, and mm-hmm. so now I will look at this, and now I will.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bit better. That's a bit better.
There's also a fun new kind of a trailer, teaser, whatever video you want to call it. Apple marketing video. It's called Humans of Apple TV, which is really, really interesting.
Oh yeah,
it's like behind. Yeah. It's kind of it's little, like a couple seconds sometimes behind the scene shots from a lot of like new and also existing shows, like Shrinking is in there, Severance is in there, whatever. So that's really, really cool trailer.
And then from the 9-to-5 Mac article, which does mm-hmm. have, as you, so thank you for including this, because it does have all the stuff that's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I believe I can read your mind, and I can confidently say that you are excited for Monarch and Silo to come back, new seasons.
Yeah, both of those are good. I gotta get caught up on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the Matchbox, the movie.
Yes. But I think Silo, we did not get any announcement yet for a date. I mean, supposedly sometime this year, that's what we've heard, but no official word yet. That's interesting. Yeah, but also to be fair, except for the movies, the schedule that Apple released, I think goes to June, July for the TV show, something like that.
Oh, okay. It's
just the movies are a little bit later in the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then for Silo, there's probably a lot of post work that's still going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. The TV shows are April, May, July 15th with Lucky, at least the new shows. And the movies go to November. The Way of the Warrior Kid is the last one in like late November, basically.
And that's the Chris Pratt movie, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, I'm kind of with you. Matchbox, the fact that John Cena is casted in it, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's the premise sounds interesting. I just wonder if this is going to be, you know, they say it's an action-packed globetrotting adventure. Okay, that's, you know, that could go a couple different ways. And so I will definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm. I have a hypothesis.
Go for it, Jeff. I do too, but go for it.
Well, it will have a very irreverent feel because John Cena, and he is so great at that type of character and mm-hmm. that type of story. But it's also going to be Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But with Matchbox properties. And Dave, when we were talking about this a little bit last night on In Touch with iOS, mm-hmm. and I can't remember who it was, someone said Matchbox, like the cars, is probably you, Chuck. And I'm like, no. And then you said, yes, that's it exactly. I was not expecting that. But yep, it's the toy cars, but not toy cars.
That one I'm least interested in right now.
It feels like one of those that could be built just to sell merchandise, or it could be a decent engaging movie.
It could be like the Tetris movie, where I'm usually not into anything game related, and it was a really enjoyable movie.
That was a really good movie. Yeah.
So it could be like that, where it's like, it's just something people love that someone made a really good movie about.
Are we talking about, I mean, maybe I missed it. Was there a Tetris movie that was based on the game or on the development of the game?
Yeah. But both, kind of.
Both, yeah.
Because the one based on the development and how that all happened was really mm-hmm. good.
But yeah, that's what I meant. That's the one I meant.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but as I said, like, I was not interested originally because it was like gaming stuff. Same for what was the show's name now? I'm blanking on it. Mythic Quest. Same thing.
I still need to watch Mythic Quest.
I was not interested, not in the least. And then I kind of, because there wasn't so much content around, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll watch an episode and just see if it's any good. And I loved it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But so far, at least from what I've seen and read about it, I'm not super interested in this one.
Yeah. I'll end up giving it a shot at some point because
not. Or not. I mean, given the things you have not seen yet, you never know.
Okay, wow, Jeff, that is absolutely fair.
I think you just got slammed, Jeff.
But it's legit.
Yeah, watch for a retro rewatch tonight. Like, there was one again where I was like, how?
True. Yes. Patrice's reaction just it borders. It's a blend. No, it's not boring. It's a blend of shocked and appalled.
Yes. Yes. Who are you and what have you done with Jeff?
Yeah, and that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are only so many days and hours in the day, days in the week to.
Yes, that's true.
To take all this stuff in.
Chuck, what I'm hearing is I'm just not committed enough to watching all the shows.
Yeah,
I mean, Jeff, it just means that there's just so much. I mean, there is so much good stuff out there.
Yes,
you know, there really is. That's I've got a watch list as long as your arm, and people start talking to me. I mean, and I know some of you are already watching some of the new Apple mm-hmm. TV shows, mm-hmm. and it's like I got other stuff to catch up on first.
Yeah, you know, it's true. No, I have the same thing. I mean, the Apple stuff, when we started out with Apple TV, everybody was saying, oh, there's no content and blah and all of that. And I think now we've reached the point where there is so much content that it's getting hard to follow it all. Like, if you're really genuinely interested in all of it, which maybe getting less likely as well now because they're branching out a little bit, there's just too much now, which is like not a complaint. It's like perfect that there's too much because you can pick and choose and not be like, oh, there's nothing to watch, might as well watch something even I'm not interested in.
Yeah, it, and not just Apple TV, but you know, other properties too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the other services that are releasing content that is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Hey, you know what else is really good, Chuck? Oh, technologies.
I don't know, Jeff. Yeah, tell us. Make sure we know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Chuck. I'll tell you what you want to know. What you really really want to know. Yeah. Our technologies is great because they are giving us everything we need to be able to live stream shows every single week and to be able to do the web hosting thing as well. So there's a place for the website. There's a place for all the show files so you can watch or listen to show recordings anytime you want. Mm-hmm. And the resources it takes to do all of this, it's actually pretty impressive. So we're really grateful that Aw Technologies is here and supporting us. So you can support them. If you have a project, site, remote location, whatever, where you need to have that remote monitoring going on, the cameras, the all the other stuff that goes along with that, check out Aw Technologies because that's what they do and they do it really well. They've even won awards. Like if you go to their webpage, you'll see one of the awards. It's for railroad stuff that they've done. And the little trophy, I guess that's what it is, that they got for the award. It's like this this silver slice of a piece of railroad track. Anyhow, so it's cool. I bet it looks really great on the shelf in the office. But the point is, they're really good at what they do. So go check them out. Use them for your remote monitoring projects, and we'll all be happy. So their website is Aw Technologies. That's awetechnologies.co.uk. Thank you, Aw Technologies, for being here for us. And Patrice, I bet you will do a much more coherent explanation of the live chat than I did talking about Aw Technologies.
I'm not sure about that, especially not today, but I'll do my best. We have a really cool live stream that we're literally, as we're recording this, live streaming. British Tech Network, live.britishtechnetwork.com. See, I already messed it up. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where you go. And yeah, you can just watch us. There's no registration. It's not using one of the big platforms like YouTube, for example. Like, so we're not dependent on their whims. It's all hosted on the server that Aw Technologies sponsors, so that's great. And it works exactly like what you're used to. Like you have the video on the left, the chat on the right, and you just start typing. It generates really cool names, like the inspiring pizza was here earlier, and then left again. But if you want, you can just change the name up top, tap the purple button, do a change name, and then that's it. So it's really cool. And we put like everything we talked about, like the new stories, the extra bits and extra stories that were mentioned, like all of that gets thrown into our live chat. And then like you can also talk to us and like ask questions and comment on things or whatever. It's just good. But if you are not into that, you don't have time, you don't want to, you want to, I don't know, look something up later, happens as well, like to me. You can just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, pick a date, and if you pick today's date, February 6th, 2026, wow, a lot of twos and sixes this time, then you will see everything that we talked about during the show in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And yep, it turns out that you actually were more coherent than me.
Yeah,
to be fair, the bar is set low.
Barely.
But take the win.
I'll take it.
Okay, it's time for some cool things. And Dave is so cool that his cool thing showed up first. Yeah, so tell us about your cool thing, Dave.
This is a charging station. It's got a retractable USB-C and or Lightning or whatever else you want. And it's made by a company called Gitrion. It's a 12-in-1 desktop charging station. Has four retractable ports like this one here. It actually plugs right in, and this actually pulls right out. And you can bring it out and charge your devices real easily. You can buy and mix and match different types. I have a 65-watt, which is this one, and then the rest of them are 40-watt. But there's these are basically, it's like a big station, and you just plug the plug in, like it's like you're plugging things in to the top part. Then in the back, there's four more outlets in the back you can plug other things in. So it's basically a nice station to plug things in, as well as have convenient places to charge, as well as you can have an extra laptop or any other device to plug them in. It's very high surge protection that's built into it, heavy duty power cord on it, and I think it's a great deal for only $130, and you get all those charging stations, including these, and you can buy extras of these too. Another thing too is if you want to take this and plug this into it directly into an outlet, you could as well. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Chuck, I'm assuming you've already ordered yours.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
That's fair. No, that's super cool. Okay, Chuck, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay, so this is an inexpensive one, and the reason I bought it is very shortly before I left for CES, I decided I was going to go ahead and upgrade to the AirPods Pro 3. And so I didn't have a lot of time or inclination to do a bunch of research on cases. So I picked one that was the same basically as my AirPods Pro 2, which is this one. But this is it's R-Fun for AirPods Pro 3 case. It's a very soft silicone case. It actually fits because I did try something else because this was all very short notice and for a similar price point, and the thing did not fit in spite of the fact it was listed for AirPods Pro 3. It just left big gaps everywhere and was very disappointing. This one is just great because it actually fits. Everything is protected. You can plug it in. You know, there's a gap in the bottom for a direct plug-in, or this can charge wirelessly through this case, which was a big thing because I was sick of having to charge my old AirPods with a plug. Best of all, though, and you're going to laugh at this, but you'd be surprised at how often it comes in handy. This is a glow-in-the-dark AirPods case, and it really does hold, I'm not sure what you call one of those, it's not charge, but it holds the light really well for at least an hour or two, so that if you're wandering around in a dark room looking for your AirPods Pro case, you can find it, and if that doesn't appeal to you, so what? It still is a decent case. But that was one of the reasons I went with this one as opposed to a different color. And it's also brightly colored, so it jumps out if it's, you know, if it fell down somewhere as opposed to like a black or dark case. So it's $10 on Amazon. Really, you can't go wrong. If you're into leather cases and all the very esoteric cases, great. Only other thing I'll mention is this one has a little hook for a lanyard on the side so that you can carry it that way. Never been a big fan of that because in spite of the magnetic case part of just the AirPods themselves, I really am not anxious to have my AirPods banging around on the outside of my backpack. But if that's your thing, or if you just, you know, want to have a place to keep the case while you're using your AirPods and have something to hang it on, it's great. So $10, go for it.
You could buy the black one for $4.
That's because you have to buy two, because you can't find the first one.
No, you don't. One for $4.
But you'll end up having to buy two.
Yeah.
Hey, I should say, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting about this. It does come with a little tool that helps you keep your AirPods nice and clean and the case nice and clean too. So that's an extra little nicety. But yeah, Dave, I'm with you. You know, you look at the cheaper ones, it's like, well, does that make a difference? But I've learned from bitter experience that having a brightly colored iPods Pro case makes it a lot easier to find when you forget where you put it.
Chuck, I have a use for that little D-ring clip thing. So don't hang the AirPods on the outside of your bag. The inside of your bag probably has a couple different clips for keys. Put it on one of those so you don't have to dig through your bag to find the AirPods. They're just dangling there.
Good point. The inside. Real good point. Yeah.
You spent my money.
You're welcome.
Well done. Okay. So, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So, since we were talking about electronic flight bags and, like, electronics in flying, whatever, I mean, I'm only a student pilot, so what do I know? But, like, in our club, this app was kind of, like got a lot of buzz and a lot of people are very excited about, and I'm actually really enjoying it. It's called Safe Sky. So it is actually what it's supposed to do be is, like, it is a traffic awareness app for when you're flying. The big airliners don't usually need that. They have TCAS or whatever, so they have that, and some more advanced airplanes also have it. But also oftentimes those systems only include certain data sources, right? For example, your transponder, so if there's a sailplane or whatever, or a skydiver or whatever, they might not show up because they don't have a transponder on board. And this app, it's free. The basic usage is free, and there's a premium subscription which is super affordable, $20-$30 a year or something. But what it does is it substitutes that. So it's not a replacement. You should still look outside if you're in general aviation. But it substitutes that with data from a lot of sources. So it does have include all the ADS-B and FLARM data for this is an app mostly for Europe, to be honest, but it does work, I think, in the US as well. It does if you have the app, if all the people using the app when they're flying, they basically I can do take off, and then it will send my location on top as well. So even if I didn't have a transponder with me, if I didn't, or someone wasn't receiving that, they could still see me because the app itself is a data source and so on. There's a bunch of data sources it combines. And then you can see it there's another plane above me, below me, whatever. As I said, it's a substitution. It's not a substitution. It's an add-on. So you should still use the electronic systems you have and look outside and all of that. But it is, from what I've heard and I've seen so far, very, very helpful. So, and for that price, it was created by pilots. So it's the target audience is probably more general aviation than professionals. But hey, you can use it. If it works for you, it works for you.
Very cool. All right. So now I have to try and follow all of that stuff. And I was torn with what to do for my cool thing today, but I think I finally settled on it, and I'm doing a TV show today.
Cool.
Wonder Man. So this is the newest Marvel TV series, and it follows the main character is Simon, and he's an actor, and he's trying to just make it in Hollywood, which so far this doesn't sound like Marvel. The thing is, though, that he does have superpowers that he's trying to hide, because superheroes or superpowered people are not allowed to act. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for it, and you learn that. But he has to hide these abilities that he has to try and make it as an actor in Hollywood. It's a very fresh and different take on the character of Wonder Man from Marvel. It's what, 8 episodes, I believe, and they're each half an hour long, and it is done so well. So Ben Kingsley is in it. He's playing Trevor, the same character that he's played in little bits along the way in other Marvel properties, but started in Iron Man 3. So same character, just kind of keeps popping up along the way. And now here he is, one of the main characters in Wonder Man. And I don't want to tell too much more because I don't want to get into spoiler territory. But I didn't know what to expect with this because I know the Wonder Man character already. And watching this, I absolutely loved it. I think this is my favorite interpretation of Wonder Man so far.
Very cool.
Jeff, I don't want you to give any spoilers, but is this like one of those tongue-in-cheek kind of things, or is this a reasonably serious, I mean, as much as any Marvel property is, but is this a reasonably serious kind of series?
It's a serious series. There's humor in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a serious story that they're following.
Okay.
And it has subterfuge and some mystery and drama.
Chuck, why so serious?
Just I appreciate the Marvel humor so much when it's done well.
And it's done so well in this one.
Yeah, it's done so well the majority of the time. But once in a while they slide over into silly. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get a little bit turned off. And when I saw this, I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, I'll eventually get around to it or I'll think about it. But Jeff's explanation makes me think I need to move it up on the list a little bit because it sounds like one I would enjoy.
You do. You know the humor that was in the Ant-Man movies?
Yes.
Which, in many cases, very silly.
Yes.
Not what you have here.
Okay. That's a great example, Jeff, of because the Ant-Man stuff was a little... It was okay, but it was a little over the top for my taste. So it leaves me with this question mark as to future Marvel series.
Well, this one will probably redeem Marvel for you.
Okay.
I think it's really well done.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So now that I have found a way to take up your weekend, because you'll end up wanting to binge this because every episode ends and you're like, oh my God, I got to see what happens next. And they dropped all the episodes at once, so you'll be able to binge it, no problem. Actually, on a side note there, when Disney dropped the entire series at once, which is not typically what they do, I was very concerned. I went into this very skeptical because I figured if they dropped every episode at once, that meant that they were not confident the series was going to get viewers. And so they needed to have everything out there to catch the bingers right at the beginning and hopefully get some numbers for the show. And maybe that was the case. I don't know. But if they were concerned, they didn't need to be. This is really well done. Okay, so with that, we're going to wrap up now and get back to spending Chuck and Dave's money and watching TV shows. Or in Patrice's case, taking to the skies, because it's true, Patrice, they cannot take the sky from you.
True.
Yeah. So thank you to all of you for being here. Dave, where can people find you? Where can they find you when you're not muted?
When I'm not that muted. Well, you can find me at InTouchWithIOS at InTouchWithIOS.com. YouTube channel, youtube.com/InTouchWithIOS. I'm on Vision Profiles on with Marty and Eric on Monday nights talking about Vision Pro and related items. Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live with the gang there and record the show on Thursday nights for In Touch with iOS and here on Fridays. And then social media, Blue Sky Mastodon at DaveG65. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, how about you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find me. Publishing a whole lot of stuff still from CES. There's a lot out. There's still quite a bit coming. Nice. We do the live show, Mac Voices Live, Tuesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with everybody here, including Patrice, on occasion when her schedule suits, when she's not out flying around, really. on the socials, you can find me as that Chuck Joyner.
All right. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the British Tech Network, on Fridays on the Mac Show, on Thursdays on the Big Show, if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, that's where we talk about that. I'm like everything I'm doing, all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, everything on my website, thepatrice.com. It has actually a new feature after, I don't know, a decade or whatever, not much changed. Like I occasionally, occasionally, I mean, every 4 or 5 years, I have a blog post there, but actually I've had this long running markdown file with all the cool things that I've picked, including also the stuff from the Mac Voices holiday gift guides from the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. And I put all of that because I was getting fed up with the massive markdown file. It was just a pain in the neck to update and add stuff to it because it would always scroll to the bottom and I had to go to the top and whatever. I just put all of that up on my website. So if you go there, there's a cool things link now. And you will literally see from, I think, November 2019 onwards, all the cool things I've ever picked, including... Oh, when Argo City updates, the thing that I just picked here, because this is how quickly I can update this file. Just literally just pushed it out. So that's where I am at. And then, like Jeff and I, we talked about already, we have Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. And we're in the season break between season 3 and season 4 of Stargate SG-1, and we're watching cool things. We did published last week, and now I can tell you what it was. It was Charmed that I watched with Jeff. Completely a different show, like not really in what we would expect, but Jeff seemed, I mean, he seemed to enjoy it, and you got, of course, some characters confused because it's Jeff.
Of course I did.
And this week, there's another one, also very different, very, very different, very interesting that we watched, and you will have to wait till tonight to see what that was. And then we'll go back into season 4 of Stargate SG-1.
Yep, and it's fair to say you were quite shocked to discover that I had not seen the show from this week's episode.
Yes.
Yep.
So there's a theme going here that you are surprisingly... there are a lot of shows that surprise Patrice that you haven't seen.
Yep, that's why we're doing a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like, seriously, Chuck, can you imagine that I had not seen a single episode of Stargate SG-1?
No, that did surprise me. That did surprise me.
Yeah, I hadn't watched any Babylon 5 until we were all in lockdown with the pandemic.
And so then
I watched all of that.
We have a long list of shows that we still want to watch. So,
and Chuck, every time we come across a show dead to the list, the shock that I see on Patrice's face is just absolutely
another one. Yes, yeah. So we have materials for the next 40 years probably.
Yeah, yeah. This podcast, I don't see an end date for it because there's so many things. And how many things are happening right now that by the time we get to where we have room for more shows, those would qualify for retro rewatch?
Yeah, exactly.
It's never ending.
Yep.
Yeah. Did I tell people where to find me?
No.
No.
Oh.
You should.
Well, then I should. Okay. Jay Gamut on the social medias, mostly Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice and I, as she has already said, do retro rewatch. Mm-hmm. So with that, as they say, OMG, but seriously, thank you so much to the three of you for being, well, first, really good friends, but then second, just an absolute delight to do shows with. You are all awesome. Yes. And I do love all of you. You're just wonderful people. So thank you. Then everyone that's watching, listening live in the live chat, thank you, all of you, for being here. Everyone that checks out the show recordings later on, I am so glad you're a part of this as well. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thanks for being here and supporting us. Okay, everyone. Come back on Thursday, next Thursday, for the big show, and then come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.